podcast that you never made a deal with. We're also the show that didn't make the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs unless you round down, but we do provide an age of perspective into the galaxy far, far away. I'm your host, Bria, and with me are my co-hosts, Brian and Jay.
Hello.
Hello.
On today's episode, we're talking about everyone's favorite Guardians of the Whills, Chirrut Imwe and Baze Malbus, so sit back and enjoy the KajiCast. And right off the bat, hey guys, we have a guest today, so everyone say hi to Meg.
Hi, Meg.
Hi, Meg.
Hi, precious dumplings.
So, Meg, you get to tell us about yourself now.
Cool. Well, I'm Meg. You might know me from things such as Far, Far Away Radio, Rogue Podrin, or the Avatar State Pod. I am half Filipino, half super white on my dad's side, and I'm really excited to be here and talking about my favorite space uncles today.
I am also super glad that you are here, and I am super glad that when I asked you who you wanted to come on the KajiCast and guest host for, that you basically said the characters I expected you to say.
There was only one answer that I really could provide.
It was very convenient.
It was Baze and Chirrut.
So we are really excited to have Meg with us today, and in less exciting news, we get to do the recurring segment. And then there's this, in which we talk about the latest BS that has happened in the nerd community related to Asian people. Mm-hmm. Y'all can probably guess what this is. It's Kelly Marie Tran leaves Instagram. We don't have confirmation that it was because of harassment, but it's pretty probable because Rian Johnson essentially dropped an anvil-sized hint that said it was. And Brian, do we still get one F-bomb on the show?
We do.
Fuck the people who did this.
I love that I get to rant about this on two different shows on back-to-back nights. Oh, wait. No, I don't. This is bullshit.
Yeah. Just. Yeah. Number one, don't harass people. Number two, don't harass people just because you didn't like a character they played in a movie. Number three, just don't be a jerk. I feel like it's not that hard, and yet it somehow is.
Yeah. It seems like it's the hardest thing for some people.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who, you know, we've all seen the comments on Twitter, Instagram, or wherever, where it was clear it wasn't about the movie, and they were just being straight up racist, and that is never okay.
Yeah. Especially because Kelly Tran is such a delight, just an absolute delight, and such a shining, beautiful person, both inside and out, and it's just so frustrating to see that. Yeah. We don't get to have that because there are like really loud jerks out there.
Her Instagram was so delightful, and I am so sad it is not there anymore because I've never seen anyone just so happy to be alive and more willing to just be like, hey guys, I'm actually a massive dork, even though they make me look really like look polished and clean for the cameras. Here I am in my gym shorts. What up? Right.
And now what am I supposed to do? So my original plan for the next Star Wars Celebration was to cosplay as Kelly Marie Tran every day. But now I don't know what her outfits look like.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They have to exist somewhere on the internet. I feel like this is a thing.
Yeah, we'll find them for sure.
Best case scenario, Kelly Marie Tran comes back on Instagram.
Prayer emoji, for sure.
Yeah. 1 month, guys. 1 month, we will manage to have an episode in which we don't have a and then there's this segment. It'll just be happiness and joy.
Will we, though?
We came so close last time.
Triple prayer emoji.
Okay. Back to happier things. Well,
please.
Sort of happier things.
Yes.
All right, guys, so we're talking about Chirrut Imwe and Baze Malbus, whose names I wrote correctly in this part of the notes. What you did not hear was my first take of the intro where I called Chirrut Baze, because I was very tired when I wrote these notes originally. Okay, so what were our first reactions when we originally heard that they were cast and or when we saw that first cast picture that they released at San Diego Comic-Con?
Unadulterated glee.
Rolling around on the ground with happiness. Literally.
I don't do Glee, but I was internally very happy.
That's really fair. I think I just shouted space Asians at everybody, both on Twitter and anyone in person, even if they did not have any context of what I was talking about.
I just still can't believe that we got two East Asian men in a film, in a Star Wars film, in leading roles.
Right.
It's just insane to me. Okay. So the other thing that follows that is, so we debated whether or not we should talk about Cheered and Baze separately or together. Or as the notes say, Cheered and Baze, Baze and Cheered, or Cheered Baze, as I've apparently renamed one of them. Do you guys want to talk a little bit how the discussions that we all separately had about talking about one without the other and why we sort of decided to discuss them together?
We had discussions about this?
Yeah, I don't remember this at all.
It was a very, hey, should we talk about them? You guys are not working with me tonight. You're killing me here.
I mean, boys. They're like Bonnie and Clyde and Chip and Dale. You can't talk about one without the other.
Exactly. It's like
peanut butter and chocolate.
Wait,
what?
What?
Brian.
Reese's peanut butter cup joke.
Okay. I thought we were going for like a Wendigo thing, and at which point I was like, why would you put peanut butter and chocolate on the same sandwich? And
I mean, if we want to go with a peanut butter thing, you know, peanut butter and pickles in a sandwich, it works.
Okay, let us not talk about that.
No. Pineapple and pizza, let's go. No, let's not do that.
Okay.
Pineapple and pizza is great, first of all. Second of all, Meg, did you want to chime in on that, aside from the horribleness of pickles and peanut butter?
Well, it's really... I mean, we see a lot of it in whenever they're written together or when they appear together. Like, it's never just one of them. Or if it is just one of them, they immediately move to a scene with the next one of them. And there's one of my favorite lines in the Rogue One novelization is that, like, Baze was no longer like a guardian. He was Chirrut's guardian. And so you can't separate those two.
Yeah. So it's not, so in other words, I just wanted to make sure we said in the episode that it's not that we didn't necessarily like feel like we had to lump them together, but we also wanted to make sure we told everyone we were doing this with the respect and weren't just being like, oh yeah, we'll just lump them together because of reasons.
It's for feelings.
Right.
I mean, so many feelings.
We could have discussed each of them separately and done a full portrait of them because they are developed as individual people, but because they complement each other so well and work well together, it just made sense to discuss them together.
Indeed. Jay, I'm going to let you take the lead on the next section.
All right, sure. So a little after the movie came out, but chronologically before the movie, we got the Greg Rucka Jr. novel Guardians of the Whales, which is a snapshot of Baze and Chirrut's time on Jeddah before the movie. The Empire's already moved in, and they've already lost their positions as the guardians of the temple, but we get a chance to see what the Empire is doing to the planet and also how Baze and Chirrut's relationship gets more characterized. Like I just said, they're both distinct people, but you know, we get the sense that Baze is the more cynical, warlike person. He wants to get involved. He wants to fight the Empire. Chirrut is more spiritual and calm. And before I get too far into the story, did you all read the story and have any thoughts on it?
I did read it. It was a while ago. I remember when I first read it because it came out. But I remember really enjoying it and thinking that Greg Rucka just got it, because first of all, he's Greg Rucka, and I really like the illustrations in it. Not that that's necessarily talking about the story itself, but
I really liked it. It was like a fanfic.
I feel like basically he did everything but say they were married.
Oh yeah, and like the plot of the story is them like saving a bunch of orphans. Like, it is gratuitous.
Now, I should point out that we're the people who say it's like a fanfic with the utmost praise.
Yes, oh, yeah, absolutely. No, like, because it is like a fanfic, I loved it so much.
Right. It gave us exactly what we wanted.
Yes, correct. Like, there's even my favorite line from it. No, I'm just getting off on, doesn't matter.
No, go on. Please keep going.
Is when, at one point, we'll get to this a little bit later, but Saw Gerrera is in this book. And Baze goes and he talks with him. And they're having like this quiet introspection moment where they're like passing some liquor between them. And there's just this one line where it's like Baze looked down at his hands and he wondered if they weren't meant to for gentler work, like a baker. And I was like, Bakery AU, I am here for this.
Oh, no.
And it was everything that I wanted. And like, that's the Baze that I knew was there when I watched the movie. And so to see it, to see more evidence of it in this book of this very hard person on the outside, but like very soft and very aware person on the inside, was like everything that I wanted. I was so validated.
Yeah. I think Baze is definitely one of the characters that benefited the most, both from this book and from the Rogue One novelization.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. So good.
Yeah. Just for like all the reasons you said about, you know, the softness inside the guy with the giant gun that he literally has a tank on his back and goes, do you want to give it? No, I'm going to keep the tank.
This is mine.
It's fine. Brian, did you read it?
I did not. There were so many things that were coming out in that window. This one, unfortunately, fell through the cracks for me.
Brian, you never do the assigned reading. You don't want me here.
I'm sorry. I'm busy editing 5 other podcasts a week.
Sounds fake.
Okay, that's fair. I can't be mad. One of them's mine. Two of them are mine.
Two.
Okay, you're on one of them too, so it doesn't really count. But yeah, Jay.
Yeah. So I mean, I would definitely say that there were a lot of Rogue One books that came out, but Guardians was definitely my favorite. For the reasons Meg and Bria mentioned. And as the story continues, we sort of see, you know, it's a short middle grade book, but we see a lot happening. We see them get involved with Saw Gerrera, and Baze, you know, at first is glad to have a chance to fight back against the Empire. But as it continues, they see what the war is doing to the people of Jedha and how it's not exactly helping them. It's actually making the Empire's brutality worse. And it culminates, you know, in an ending where they break their relationship with Saw Gerrera. They decide to help some orphan kids instead of strike a blow against the Empire. And there's this touching moment near the end where they're trying to decide who should go on the ship with the orphans. And Chirrut says, you know, you should go on that ship. This war is really hurting you, Baze, and you'd be better far away from the Empire. And Baze is like, well, I can't. If I left, you would walk into walls. I know I have to take care of you. And Chirrut's like, I haven't intentionally walked into a wall in a very long time, but it shows that they're looking out for each other. They both want what's best for each other. And that is the perfect way to expand on their story from Rogue One.
I love that "you would walk into a wall" is a literal quote from the book. That just makes me happy.
I mean, and that Chirrut's done it on purpose before.
Yes. Oh, see, now I'm looking at the book. Don't be absurd. Neither of you is going anywhere without the other. And then they go drink tea.
Right. Tea that Baze hates.
Yes.
Oh. I'm really bummed my copy of it is back in Seattle. Maybe I'll grab it when I'm there next week. But I have it all like marked up with tags of like important quotes that I might need for later.
It is really like a remarkable book. In addition to just the character work, every like chapter or subchapter has like a little quotation from a different religious groups or a force traditions, proverbs on the force. And just a lot of thoughtfulness went into the idea of spirituality and the force and these characters. I really, really enjoyed it a lot.
I'm surprised it took you that long to mention those, Jay.
I know. They were like my favorite part. I was yelling about them as soon as it came out.
I think that was the first thing you texted me about when you got the book. Oh, look, Wills. Oh, seriously. This is one of those books that I feel like it reinforced the whole space married thing even more.
Oh, yes.
And so I think a lot of the I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. So when it comes to representation, especially LGBT representation in Star Wars, I feel like sometimes we get teased. So to me, that would fall under, say, the Callus and Zeb thing. And then we get books like this, where I feel like Rucka gave us as much as he was allowed to. And it's not quite there, but it still makes me happy because it's almost there. And it felt like author intent. But I don't know. You guys might feel differently about that.
I mean, nothing was ever going to change my mind about them being space married. So definitely gave me, it was really nice for me to kind of see into their quiet life and like their kind of normal life on Jeddah before you see them in Rogue One, and just see that, like, yes, they do things like repair stuff and clean and drink terrible tea, and Baze gets offended when Chirrut isn't grateful for the food he made. And it's just, it's so realistic and so relatable to like being in a relationship and like being married to someone.
So it sounds like this book really contains a lot of the domestic adventures of Baze and Chirrut.
It's real good. They go visit orphans, Brian.
Okay, yeah, I'm bumping this one up my list.
And then they save the orphans.
They save them.
Like Rucka. Like, that should be enough to make you want to read it.
There's this great scene in the book where the Empire is like, well, we can't hurt orphans. That would be bad. Only bad people hurt orphans.
Oh, no.
Food for thought.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We're worse than the Empire.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I had to.
It's true, though. It's real.
Yeah. Now I just want to, like, I'm flipping through the book, and it almost makes you just want to, like, pause. Like, all right, guys, you do the rest of the podcast by yourselves. I'm going to go reread this.
Yeah.
Like, y'all have fun.
It's so good. It's a really good book. And listeners, if you haven't read it, 100% go read it.
Yes.
Yeah. Sidebar, but so many of the middle grade books that have come out since Disney sale have just been excellent.
Yeah. Because Rucka did Before the Awakening too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Jason Fry's done a couple of the other ones. They've all been really good.
Yeah, the Servants of the Empire series is amazing.
Servants is fantastic.
I still need to read it.
Like, good enough that I didn't just rent, like, get it from the library. Like, come on. That's high price. Bought for full price on my Kindle.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an endorsement. Right there. Ugh. Okay, I need to put the book down. Otherwise, I'm going to start reading it. I'm really sorry.
Got some uncles to talk about.
Yeah, okay. So is there anything else we wanted to bring up from the book? Or do you guys want to move on to Rogue One?
I think we can move on.
Yeah. Okay. So we first see them on Jeddah, obviously, where Chirrut's doing the whole, you know, force of others be with you. And he calls out to Jyn because he can sort of sense her kyber necklace, and they have a little chat, and he's adorable. He's super cute in that scene. Like, I love his all, you know, but for that answer, you have to pay. And it's very endearing. What's also endearing is him kicking the butts of like 10 stormtroopers despite being blind and just being like, yeah, what's next? So what did you guys get from there? Both from Chirrut and Baze's introduction, as he just shoots the couple of stormtroopers who come up after Chirrut kicks everyone's butts, and then how that characterized the relationship that they have.
Sorry, go ahead, Jay.
That scene with Jyn reminded me, honestly, of traveling to India and seeing just random folks selling trinkets alongside on the street, but also, you know, I'm not, you know, from there, even though my family does. So I get the sense that there are a lot of people who sort of prey on tourists or people who don't know better by telling them about trinkets. And at first you almost want to think, oh, Chirrut's one of those people. And then he, you know, he makes it clear he's not preying on her. And he, in fact, brings up that idea that he's looking for money as a joke. And so I really, really like that subversion of expectation with him right from the get-go.
Yeah. Brian? I mean, I was going to talk a little bit about the fight sequence, but I'm glad that fight sequence is there because if you you got Donnie Yen, it would have been such a waste not to just give him a moment of choreographed brilliance like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if you, one of the first things I feel like Donnie Yen has to do in a movie is have a fight scene, just because the way he moves is so spectacular. And so it does characterize him very much. His fighting style shows you exactly who Chiribaze is.
And thanks, Meg.
You're welcome. And like, it's really important. Like, and he fills it so much. And the interaction of him taking all the stormtroopers, the new line of stormtroopers that comes up, and then Baze just shooting them all with his tank gun that's strapped to his back is like, oh, okay, now we know who these people are.
And then just the two lines, you almost shot me, you're welcome. Just,
yeah. you know
you get exactly everything you need about them.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive, actually, how neatly they did that. I am kind of disappointed that was, I wish we had gotten more. Well, I'm torn between wishing we had gotten to see more fight scenes like that for Chirrut because Donnie Yen is amazing. And also I'm kind of slightly glad that we didn't have anything more on that level, just so it didn't go into, oh, they got the really good Asian guy to do martial arts, because obviously that's what you do with an Asian guy in a film. But he's so good.
Yeah, and I do like how they used it sparingly through, like, the rest of the story, that he is very talented with fighting, but not necessarily a full fight scene like he had in the beginning.
Yeah. What was your guys' read on how he was able to fight like that, even without his vision? Because there was a lot of questions that people had originally at one point about what his relationship with the Force was.
So there's a lot of ways to interact with the Force, right? Like, just, you know, you don't have to use telekinesis, right? So I've always thought he has a connection to the Force and he can feel or sense things. And I just had a thought about the other podcast Meg is on, because they're talking on Rogue Podron about the Jedi Academy books. And there's this discussion of something called a sphere of responsibility, which is where you extend your senses outward and can sense things. And some people are good at sensing and other people can't do Force tricks like telekinesis. So maybe Chirrut is like that. He's connected to the world around him and he can sense things. And that's his connection to the living Force.
Jay, did you just compare Chirrut to Corran Horn?
Oh,
I tried not to say his name out loud for a reason.
Jay, buddy, no.
Oh, boy.
Jay.
Oh, boy. And this is really why, like, this question is also really why, like, I think people should read the Rogue One novelization and Guardians of the Worlds, because you do get that inspection of how Chirrut interacts with the Force and the world around him a lot more, because that's very hard to show in a movie. But like, you can see his thought process in the books. And you can see how he is when he's not trying to tap into the Force, as well as when he actually is trying to tap into the Force. So, I don't know. Chirrut is definitely very intuned. And I'm going to fight anybody who thinks that he isn't. But he also has he's also extremely just skilled with martial arts and with living without his vision.
Yeah, yeah. I think Star Wars is setting up that there's varying degrees of how attuned to the Force someone can be, and Chirrut is definitely somewhat attuned to it. It does help him, but again, like you said, he is very skilled, but there is some connection there.
So obviously, things don't necessarily go well for everyone. And oh, wait, I really can't skip over the best line in the film, which is, "Are you kidding me? I'm blind." Put a bag over his head. And that makes me laugh harder than I think anything else in this movie, which is pretty impressive because the movie can be pretty darn funny for being a tragedy. But they take Sherrod and Baze and Jin and Cassian to Saw Gerrera. And which then we get another really lovely little characterization line, which that sounded more sarcastic than I meant it to. Where Sherrod's praying and Baze is just not having it. And he's just like, he's praying. Can you believe it? He's praying. And then meanwhile, Cassian's like, okay, can we get out of here? Can let's focus on this.
Cassian's already done with these two people.
Cassian was not in the market for two space uncles that day.
He really was not.
He was in the market for a pilot, and that was it. And then, of course, this all leads to Jedha City being exploded. And as they leave. So that's a lot to take in for both of them. Any thoughts on that or commentary on that besides, you know, holy crap, it sucks to see your entire home go boom.
That was actually one moment I wish the film had spent a little more time with. Was how Baze and Sherrod reacted to their home being, not just their home being gone, but essentially their charge, the Jedha temple being gone.
Wasn't that also, and I know we're going to get to Edu later, but wasn't that line from the trailer not in the movie where Baze is like, they destroyed our home? That didn't make the final movie,
it
right?
It did not.
Yeah, that got cut.
I don't even remember that line from the trailer.
Yep. Thanks, trailers. Another very important part that happens in their prison cell is when Baze is, you know, poking fun at Jarrett for praying. This is the one time in which Jarrett raises his voice. And it's when he's like, "This is Baze Malbus, once the most devoted guardian of them all." And like, that's the only time in which you see him like kind of drop his calm, funny dude demeanor to where he's like, "Listen, Baze, you cannot make fun of me for praying right now.
I will shame you in front of all of these people."
Yes, I do not care. And I just think like that's a really important scene. And like, that's what I need to know. Like, I was really happy with Guardians of the Wills, but like, I need a young Guardians Baze Malbus, the most devoted guardian of them all story. Like, I need to know how that happened. And what happened? What made him lose his faith?
My headcanon has always been that it's something to do with Order 66 happening.
Oh, no. Anyways, we can talk about that later. I see it's on the show notes.
Yeah. Oh, the shut up and let Meg talk here? Bit?
I mean, there's a faith in the Force part.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think those lines, though, that especially the ones you called out, are another instance where they did so well with so little of letting us get to know these two characters. Because obviously we get a lot with Cassian and we get a lot with Jin, but I just thought it was impressive. Like even though the books did fill in a lot more, just how quickly they were able to let us get a sense of who these people are and how natural it felt. It didn't feel like Sherrod was saying that just to be like, "Oh, hey, here's your exposition." Right. Wink, wink, nod, nod. It just seemed part of them, and it let us get to know them. I thought that was really well written and obviously very well acted.
Oh, so good. I love Rogue One so much.
I was just watching this part. I just got through Edu before we started the podcast.
So good.
So speaking of Edu, things go badly.
Just a little.
Because honestly, that should just be the tagline of every single section we've gone through so far.
Yeah.
Jedha, things go badly. Edu, things go badly. everyone decides to basically go towards the platform at their own certain time. And Bates has his whole, like, you know, what are you doing? And Jarrett's like, I'm following Jin. The Force is telling me to follow Jin. Let's go. And Bates is all like,
out there, good luck.
I don't need luck. I have you.
Oh! Come on. Come on.
I'm so married.
How can you not?
They are so space married. Come on.
Space married. Oh my gosh.
I think that the fact that they are not officially space married may bother me more than the Hera and Kanan thing used to. Which is impressive.
Given how much you were committed to that one, yeah, that says a lot.
Just one day I have to find the writers of Rogue One and just show up with a t-shirt that says space married on it. It's fine.
Space married.
We can find a way.
Right to this miscarriage of justice.
All right, Brian, what was your read on Edu and everything that happened there with both of them?
Oh, gosh. I mean, everything on Edu just really drives home just how much history is in their relationship. The way they talk to each other, the familiarity that's there. And you get this sense of just this unspoken trust between them. You got glimpses of that on Jedha, but Edu is I think where it really becomes clear that these two have a relationship that is kind of quite unlike any other relationship we'd seen in Star Wars and film to that point, I think.
Yeah. Jay?
So, Edu is my least favorite part of the film, but I like how the novel goes into a little more detail on what's going on here and how this ties back into what happened on Jedha, both like their history there and the destruction of the planet, where Baze wants to take action against the Empire, and Chirrut actually convinces Baze to hang on a little bit, and it says a lot that Baze was willing to do that. They knew each other really well for that to have worked.
I think one of my favorite Baze moments is actually after they leave Edu, when Cassian and Jin are just like having it out on the ship. And then Cassian's all like, anyone else? And Baze just like doesn't say anything and just leans backwards. And just there's something in that little bit where I'm just like, Baze, I love you.
Baze is here to nap, okay? Baze is tired and hungry and like damp. This was not what he meant to do today. Everything's very different from what he planned.
He was just going to go sit there, make sure Jared didn't get into trouble, maybe drink some of that awful tea.
Great. It'd
be fine. It was going to be fine.
It was going to be another normal day, rescue some more orphans, you know, whatever Baze Malbus does. But I mean, no.
He's basically decided to, like, help rescue another orphan as far as Jin goes.
Gosh, so they've adopted so many dumb children.
They really have. Because then neither one of them end up, like, I feel like there wasn't actually discussion between them on Yavin before they go, yeah, like, how many do you need? What are we doing? And they're just like, yeah, we're going to go to Scarif with you and probably die.
Right. Like, there was no need for discussion. Like, they're like, oh, we signed up. This is what we're doing now. All right.
Is it then that he calls her little sister, or is that like when you're on the way?
That's when they're landing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's when they're landing and they split ways on Scarif. And I cry every time. When he calls her little sister.
Aww. Do you want to just jump ahead to that part? Or does anyone want to say anything about the Yavin stuff with them? Not that there's much, but
I just really like, I mean, they're in it for a hot second. But I just really like how they look in that part, because they're just kind of like nonchalantly leaning, and then Baze like looks like he's doing something important. He's definitely not. And he's just like, how many people did you need? And like points over his shoulder, like, yeah, there's some dudes here for you, Jin. And then like once Bodhi's like, there's room for everybody, you just see Chirrut look so happy that they're going to go and do this and do something for the galaxy. And it's just a very sweet, really small moments in the background.
See, now I just really want to go make sure I pay attention to their background faces.
Yes.
Like how you watch parts Orlando of Star Bloom. Wars for Luke Hamill. Oh my god.
You're really good with names today, Bria.
I'm renaming everyone, okay? It's fine. Everything's fine. Mark Hamill background faces.
Yeah.
I just really want to look out for Chirrut and Baze. I said put an and in there. Chirrut and Baze background faces in this. But yeah. So little sister, huh?
Oh my gosh. It's so good. And in my head, because I have to change everything into like a modern AU. he calls her Mei Mei, which is little sister.
Aww.
But I mean, he would. Like, I'm sure at one point or another, like, Jiang Wen actually called her that, and I die. I'm just dead.
Oh.
So dead.
Oh, and now I'm dead too.
Yeah, exactly. It's the best. Especially because, like, I do like to think that in canon, they are actually the ages of their actors,
mm-hmm.
Which is like they're in their 50s. And like, that's great. That's really good. That feels really good. And they would like actually be old space uncles. But I really like it on Scarif. They look like this is what they're here. Like Baze is like, this is what I'm here for. I'm gonna wreck stuff. When he gets to use a rocket launcher, he's just having a great time.
How can you not have a great time when you have a rocket launcher on your hands? You know,
he looks so disappointed though when it did not work.
Oh.
But like again, this is why everybody needs to read the Rogue One novelization, because like that scene right afterwards where like the X-Wings come in and like take care of the AT-AT, and then like you see Baze like do a big thumbs up with this giant grin on his face, and like in the novelization they even talk about how out of character it is and how Baze is like, I don't know what I'm doing. I am so in the moment right now that like I just gave a big thumbs up. How weird. And it's just so cute. It's really cute.
How can you not give a thumbs up when X-Wings appear suddenly out of nowhere?
Like, what else are you going to do?
Be happy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you're Imperial, you won't be happy, but yeah. No. Yeah. Well, Jay cares, but.
They're good targets.
Oh, Jay, do you have anything aside from, you know, trying to poke fun at X-Wings about the not sad stuff on Scarif?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Brian?
I mean, you know, my brand is X-Wings, so.
Yes, I know your brand is X-Wings, but we are talking about space.
I'm really talking about X-Wings.
I mean, you
another show.
You brought X-Wings up with Jay. Scarif makes me sad.
Happy part. We're in the happy part of Scarif.
I know we're in the happy part, but I can't think about the happy part without knowing the sad part is also just about there. I really love Baze and Chirrut just sneaking around before the alarm's been sounded. Chirrut using his staff to just obliterate a stormtrooper makes me clap every time. And then, of course, running into a giant tank that is Baze is just a delightful moment.
Ugh. The only thing that I wish was different in those scenes is that I really wish there was some point in which Baze kicked somebody in the chest. That was the only thing that was missing for me.
Yeah, that would have been great.
My very specific thing that I'm really into is when really big people kick other people in the chest. So I'm just disappointed for myself.
Missed opportunity.
I almost feel like I feel like I can see it in my head too. So
right, like it almost happens. It almost happens, but like not quite. So like missed, like that. Okay, so that's like two grievances to take to the directors and writers of Rogue One.
Why are they not space married? Also, why did Baze not kick someone in the chest, you jerks?
Yeah.
It'll be fine. We'll write a letter.
It's fine. A strongly worded letter.
Should we write a letter to Quick Sum with our concerns, Meg?
Absolutely.
Sorry. Apparently we are all full of salt today. Salt and my inability to say names. But speaking of salt, salt is part of tears. And tears are something that happened in this movie. So I don't know who wrote it in the notes, but whoever wrote it was Faith in the Force, Chariot never lost it, FaZe did for a time. And then.
Oh my God.
Have to get the switch. What is it? The master switch, right? The
master switch.
Someone goes and tries, and it goes poorly. And Chariot walks out. I won the Force, and the Force is with me. I won with the Force, and the Force is with me. And FaZe is really not happy that his space husband is doing this because
he's shot.
And he doesn't get shot until after the switch thing happens.
He gets vaguely exploded.
I was trying to be nice about it. He gets vaguely exploded, and FaZe does not handle it well.
Berserk button hit.
Oh my gosh. This is, I know I'm going to bring it up and then I have brought it up, but this is why you all need to read the Rogue One novelization. Because this part in which Chirrut connects to the Force is beautiful. And the joy and the happiness that he feels being this close to the Force. And then, like, the absolute shock and sorrow when it leaves him is just, oh, it's so much. It's so much. And it's so good.
Alexander Freed is too good for this world.
Oh, my gosh. He's a terror. He's a feels terrorist.
He really is.
Especially because, so if you haven't read it, each section, like, where they die is, like, just kind of rounded out with this beautiful one-liner that just twists the knife extra deep. And
I haven't been able to bring myself to reread it again just because I know it'll hurt so bad.
It's rough. But like this scene is just so beautiful and it's so heartbreaking. And if you were ever in doubt of like how much they cared about each other, this is where you're proven wrong.
Yeah. Because FaZe does find his faith in the Force again at the very, very end with the him saying, "I am one with the Force and the Force is with me," kills me every time in the movie.
Yeah. And so for this, sorry, I'm just like, listen to my FaZe and Chirrut feelings. Like, I think it's very intentional that he says it the opposite of Chirrut.
Yes.
And because like, his, even if he doesn't necessarily believe in the Force anymore or how it was to him before, he definitely believes that Chirrut is there. And the Force, like he says specifically first that like the Force is with him because he knows that Chirrut is with him. And that, like, that was the reason why he could, even if he doesn't really believe it at that moment, he could let himself be vulnerable and let himself, like, go back to whatever happier and simpler time to which he could have faith, even though he just lost everything.
Meg, I'm going to make you speculate about something for me.
Great. Yes. Good.
How do you think it would have gone if FaZe had made it off Scarif?
I don't want to live in that universe.
I mean, no, I know, but
right.
If the messages hadn't come up there and that grenade hadn't.
So I guess this is the question is, is FaZe the only one who gets off of Scarif? Or because
let's say it's FaZe, Jin, and Cassian.
Okay. I think he would stay wherever Jin was. Because Chirrut, in the novelization, you get a little bit of a deeper picture of this. But like when Chirrut goes and follows Jin on Edu, it's because he sees her path filled with light. And you know, FaZe kind of brushes it off like, oh, my crazy husband, whatever. But I think because Chirrut has such faith in Jin and that she was worthwhile of a person to follow and listen to, I think he would continue that for him and to look after her for him.
Like adopting a baby, except not.
I mean, she's kind of a baby.
Oh,
she's a very deadly baby.
Yes.
But
really, it's perfect for Bae, a very deadly baby.
Right, exactly. And because he'd be like, yeah, let's have some cool weapons time. And it would be like fun and great. And I think, yeah, I think Bae would become a softer person and probably more to the person that like Chirrut knew when they fell in love.
Oh, I didn't think this episode was going to make it so sad.
Guess what? Meg's here.
Sad headcanon. Here we go.
This is also a feels terrorist. It me.
Yeah. Do either one of you boys want to share in the feels? Now that Meg's broken all of our hearts even more
Meg has definitely said a lot there that I totally agree with. But one little thing that always stuck out to me is just before Baze gets exploded. I'm sorry for phrasing it that way, Meg.
She just said Chirrut gets exploded. She Baze doesn't have
exploded.
True. There's for me, it was less of a look of terror or being scared and more a look of acceptance and peace.
Yeah.
And I love that little moment, and I loved how he portrayed that on the screen, and I'm very glad they had that shot in there.
Yeah, like he looks back at Chirrut and like you can see his face actually soften, and it's like even his shoulders drop a little bit. This is what I pay attention to when I'm watching Rogue One. And like you can tell that he's like, okay, this happened. I am now also going to be part of the Force. And it's just, ooh, so good. Because that's what Chirrut says, that he can always find him in the Force. And then now he's just like, this is going to happen, but now I'll be with Chirrut again.
Oh, you know what that makes me think of? You can always find me in the Drift.
No!
Oh my god. Censor. I did.
This is fine. Pacific Rim feels and Star Wars feels, and they should put Idris Elba in.
What would their What would their Jaeger name be?
Oh my gosh, it'd be something. Oh wait, hold on. I have not considered this kind of Star Wars Pacific Rim.
What? Meg, I'm almost disappointing you that you have not thought about this before.
Listen. Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
It would definitely have like red accents on it.
Oh, absolutely. But, oh my gosh. Okay. No, gotta keep going.
No. All right. Jay?
I'm just going to desecrate the moment, so let's move on.
Jay, why do you do this? Okay, you know what I'm going to do then? I'm going to make you talk first. You talk first. You talk first. I talk first. About what, even though, you know, we only, we got them for one movie and we got them for a book or two, but what do they mean to us? And yes, I know the note here says, I'm going to shut up and let Meg talk, but I'm going to make you talk first, Jay, because I can.
All right. I mean, I like that both of them show us another view of spirituality in Star Wars. That a lot of people talked about, you know, the Last Jedi and the democratization of the Force, but I think that Baze and Chirrut were the first ones to do that for us. They were the ones to show us that you didn't have to be special to feel the Force. And for them, the Force was less of a abstract outside thing, but it was about people, and specifically the two of them, I think. your sense of the Force was made concrete in their relationship with each other, and I thought that was something that was really special.
As for me, it's a little more of an out of universe thing. I mean, we've seen East Asian men have leading roles in big Hollywood films before, but there's not a whole lot where they get to be front and center in a film like this. And not just that, but there's two of them. It was just very special to see East Asian men like that get to be part of this just modern myth, and this just staple of Hollywood storytelling. And I'm never going to get over how great that felt to see the cast announcement and how just otherworldly it felt to watch them on screen in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I think Meg. This is where we now let Meg have
hi,
some
Meg.
Fun.
Hi. Baze and Chirrut are everything to me. Baze was really the first character that I felt like I could really identify with and see myself with, and felt like Baze and Chirrut and their relationship was the first one that felt like really realistic and something that I could have and something that I wanted. Baze is so important to me. And I think Baze gets a little bit underrated because he doesn't have that like big fight scene like Donnie Yen does. And, he's not funny and he doesn't like talk as much. But like Baze has always been my favorite in that movie. And I think my favorite new canon Star Wars character, and probably in my top five characters of Star Wars, period. They have such good hearts. And like, I like that the fact that they're older and they have a very strong sense of who they are. Like, this was not the beginning of their journey at all, right? This is really is like closer to the end of it. And even if they hadn't died on Scarif, like it still would be like kind of toward the end of things. Like, they've had their life and they've had their adventure. And so they're very set on like who they are. And we get to see that, like we get to see how strong their relationship is and how strong of like people they are. And just like their confidence in each other and their decisions. So I was really glad that my general excitement of Asians in space was rewarded with like these two people that I love so much, and these two people that like I could see myself and like other people that I love in. So just like till I die, they're my space uncles. I love them so much.
Aww. I think what got me at times was that I looked at Baze and I was like, wow, you basically look like you could have been one of my uncles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because like my like I said, my mom's side is Chinese, and I'm like, you kind of look like my Uncle David in a way. Like the, you know, the bigger guy, Chinese guy, mm-hmm. who's just like a big softy on the inside, even though they don't want you to realize it. And I'm like, oh, this just, it's representation. It makes me happy. Also on the out of universe note, when I was kind of doing a little bit of the research for the podcast, I remember that they both had very good stories for why they took the roles. And I kind of wanted to read both of them here. So I don't have the exact, I forgot to write down the sources, but Donnie Yen was quoted in an article as saying, it was crazy, but I was hesitant about taking this role. I was flattered, but at the same time, I didn't want to leave my family for 5 months to go to London because I just got off another movie. I turned to my children and I said, did you like Baba's IP Man series? Because I'm known to Western audiences for IP Man. Or do you want Baba to be in Star Wars? They went, Star Wars, of course. I said, wait a minute, there's something special here. Then my friends and family and fanboys, everyone was so excited. And I realized this is not just making a movie, you're making history here. And that's how I got involved. And I'm so glad I did. And side note, his son has cosplayed as Chirrut
and it's the
times.
Most adorable
so
thing.
Cute. So
it
cute.
Makes me so happy. If you haven't seen the pictures, go look them up. They will even warm Jay's heart.
Can confirm.
Yeah. And then for Zhang Wen, he goes, because Wen's mastery of English is spotty, he has revealed that he wasn't sure about taking on the film. A script in English is, of course, hard for me to read, he says in the film's special features, but my son can read great. According to Wen, after his children took a look at the script, they were totally fine with their father leaving home for 5 months to shoot the epic Star Wars film. After my biggest son read it, he said, go, Dad, you have to go for us, Wen says. I asked them why, and my two sons said, this is Hero.
Oh,
God.
And he is.
They are.
So I hadn't heard this second one. I've heard the Donnie Yen one, but I hadn't heard Zhang Wen's. And when I was reading in the notes earlier, that the ending, this is Hero, actually did make me kind of tear up. It's a nice story.
It's so good.
I almost feel like, so usually we talk a little bit more. I mean, and we're definitely going to about like the out of universe reactions we've seen to both characters. But I almost feel like what else can you say that's going to impact you more than the kids of both of these men saying, you know, you have to do it. This is Star Wars. This is special. And Baze, like, this is Hero. Like, ugh, just write that on my tombstone.
Right.
So good.
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So if anyone ever tries to tell you representation doesn't matter, you go, look at Baze Malbus's sons who said he is a hero and this means the world to him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Did anyone else have any out of universe reactions that we've seen in the fandom that we wanted to share? I mean, I have the usual anecdotes of being able to say the cosplayers. I know a local friend of mine, he's been working on a Chirrut costume. We actually even have the local Rebel Legion has a Baze, and it makes me so happy every time I see him.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, especially because he's like naturally a very smiley guy. And it's so just not Baze, but you can't. Yes. He just looks like Baze, and he... It makes me so happy that there's actually Asian characters for people to costume as, and they look so perfect. Yeah,
that really is one of the great side benefits to getting characters like these in Star Wars films is it opens up so many great cosplay opportunities for people who've never had something like this geared towards them before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I do have a thing, but I'll get to that when we go to our special listener question.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's very special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have also one that I saw. I like to sometimes watch those Star Wars trailer reaction videos on YouTube, and I know a lot of them are fake, but they're still fun to watch. And one that really stuck with me was a bunch of Asian American dudes watching the first Rogue One trailer, the first teaser. And during the middle of it, one of them just like broke and gasp, there are Asians in Star Wars, and it was such a surprise tone of happiness that I hadn't seen in any of those reactions before, and I loved it.
So good.
And it's like, we've seen, you know, Asian side characters in Star Wars before, but the fact that they're main characters makes a big deal, means a big deal to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would watch an entire... Can they just do a Baze and Chirrut spinoff film?
Like, yes, please.
Sign me up.
I don't even know what it would be, but I would watch it. I would be so... Ugh.
Instead of Solo, they could call it Duo.
Oh my God.
Jay!
I hate it. I'd hate it, but I still watch it.
Oh, God. Yeah. And for that, Jay, I'm going to make you do your art corner.
All right, Jay's art corner. So unlike Bodhi Rook, Baze and Chirrut are actually in the art book. And not only are they in the art book, but they're in the art book a lot. There's like 5 or 6 whole pages of different evolving character designs for them. The artists mentioned that they were originally designed as an odd couple, like 3PO and R2. You wouldn't think they would belong together, but they complement each other. And there are many iterations of the characters, including the strange phase where they're experimenting with slim bays and the slim gun. And that would have been very, very different.
Baze
is big.
Right. Like, he just would have been a completely different person. It would not have worked. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to focus on is the final version of the Chirrut design after, and I believe it was Donnie Yen that suggested that he should be blind, but the final version of the design that gave him cataracts and blank eyes, and then Donnie Yen, and he's actually quoted in the art book, suggested giving him blue eyes because it would be unusual for a Chinese character, Chinese-looking character, to have blue eyes. And I wanted to highlight that because I thought it was very important that the suggestion came from him rather than character artists of a non-Chinese background.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Jay, I love you. Jay, I know you did this art corner kicking and screaming, even though you agreed to it easily enough. But I am very glad you do this section in a podcast for us. I feel like I always learn something.
Thank you. It's actually kind of fun now.
Now that you've gotten over it.
I knew it. He really likes it. Deep down, he liked it.
Now that he's accepted it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, did we tell you about this? He made a joke about it. And I said, okay, that's a section of the podcast. And he went, yeah, okay, sure. And then before the next episode, he was like, wait, what? I have to do what?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they pulled the receipts. They actually played the audio clip for me when I had agreed to it because I completely forgot that had even happened.
That's why you always have receipts.
We have so many receipts. Did either one of them have any input on the costume in addition to the eyes, or did it not say?
I don't remember them being quoted. When they talked about the costume, they obviously talked about the use of red and how it was supposed to represent the Guardians, the Will, but Guardians of the Whales and the Force in general, which is why we saw traces of red also on Lyra's costume, but no, I don't think I remember them being quoted for the rest of the costume.
Okay. They're both good costumes. That's it. The prequel can also involve Lyra.
Yes, because absolutely.
She deserves everything, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Are you ready for my other favorite section? It's Tell That to Kanji Cast, in which super special listener Nancy sent us the question, what are your Chirrut and Baze headcanons? Meg.
Boop. What's up? Okay, so let's start off with the least complicated one, which is that Baze definitely tried to throw out his like red sash of enlightenment, but Chirrut found it and still has it saved somewhere for him later.
Oh my god.
Well, super casual. I am terrible. The longer one, which is also the one that I talked about at the Star Wars Celebration Orlando LGBTQ in a Galaxy Far Away panel that Brian put together, is that I definitely headcanon Chirrut and Baze as a romantic but ace married couple.
Yes.
And it is purely because of this is what I like and I would like some representation. But like to me, watching them, there wasn't, like, you could tell, I could tell that there was just this, like, unconditional love between them that was, like, very understanding and very romantic, but not necessarily anything, like, sexual about them. I obviously don't care if other people do think it's that. I've seen some spicy Baze and Chirrut fan art, and I, like it and retweet it because it's still good. But like for me, I think that's really important to have this like very, just this like very romantic partnership that I can see and something that I want. Because when I look at them, like, that's the kind of relationship that I visualize in my life, where it's like, here's my, I'm obviously Baze in this situation because I take everything way too seriously. And I get fed up with all y'all, but I'm still like, oh, but I still love them so much, even if they just like cause trouble all the time and make me drink this tea I don't like. And just when I look at them, it's what I want. And because like I am somewhere on the A spectrum, I'm like, yes, they are too. Bam. And so my story about that is, as the panel was over, my friend who was there and watching it, she had like gone to the restroom, and when she had come out, she passed by these like two guys who were like very like stereotypical like white dudes you see at Star Wars Celebration Orlando, like passed by who were in that panel and were like, you know, I never thought of Baze and Chiru like being together, but after she talked about it, I can see it. And like that was just such a big win for me. And I think for like people having open minds about things, and for like what good writing that we saw in Rogue One, and in like the novelization and in Guardians of the Wills, that like these characters that we really don't get a lot of can still have, you know, enough of a relationship that people can pick it out, and then they can see that like, oh, okay, this makes sense, without like having to stretch so far.
You know, I never realized it until you said it just now, but I've totally been headcanoning them that same way this whole time.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're so right.
Meg, the first time I saw you, or I saw you post that on Twitter, that immediately just crystallized in my head. It's, oh yeah, that is totally them.
Right. Like they just, like, even as they're young and like falling in love, this is also my headcanon, watch out for a fake sometime. Like, even as they're young and falling in love, like, it's really, you know, they would just confide in each other and like trust with each other and like try to feel each other in the Force, and like not in a sexy way, but just in like wanting to know everything about the other person and allowing the other person to have that. It's just such a open and like, oh, so many words that none of them are correct. Just an unconditional, like completely sharing yourself with somebody else. And it doesn't have to be about this physical form. Like, it's about themselves and the Force and their spirits. And it's just like so beautiful, so much.
Oh. Yeah, and I'm thinking about it. I think almost all the fics I've read with them have always just been very, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, demure as far as their physical relationship goes. It's always, you know,
right, like kissing
and cuddling and all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I've been headcanoning this whole time. And actually, hold on. There are points where I had to think twice while we were recording this episode and be like, did I read this one thing in a fanfic or was this in Greg Rucks? I'm like, obviously they fell in love in their 20s. Oh, no.
Actually, that's
not canon. But yeah, that's something I've just internalized so much because they're them.
Yeah.
That's so tough.
It's just how they are. And if anybody wants a fic rec, I can definitely recommend, I don't know who the author is, but it's called Long Overdue Tax Benefits.
That's such a great title.
Is it a coffee shop AU, Meg?
It is a coffee shop AU. It is very good. It's pretty short. You know, sit down 15 minutes and read it. Bodhi, like the other characters are like a little bit out of character, but like, it's so good. It's so good. The twist at the end, excellent.
Meg, yeah. I love you. Never change.
I like what I like.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but I think those are my two big things that I think about. Like, I really think about, like, there's Baze's Sash of Enlightenment is still around. I truly believe that. Even if, like, Chirrut has to hide it inside of his robes, he's ready for it. if ever Baze comes back to the Force, he's going to whip it right out.
Phrasing.
Right? And just, please.
I'm sorry. I'm a horrible human.
Got our Padron moment today.
Yep. I'm here, so.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I like that. Brian, do you have any headcanons?
I have to be honest here. All of my headcanons pretty much have been copied and pasted from Meg. Like, she has the perfect read on them. Anytime she says something about them headcanon-wise, I'm like, yeah, that's right. I totally dig that. Yep, I'm adopting that. So, yeah, copy and paste all of Meg's headcanons. They are mine as well.
Jay?
So not until we had the conversation today, but when we mentioned that Baze used to be the most devoted guardian of them all, I sort of had the idea that maybe when they were young apprentices, Chirrut was actually like the young troublemaker and Baze had to sort of keep him in line, because that's sort of in keeping with Chirrut's sort of goofy, joking demeanor.
Yes, I love that. Hold on. I am in the middle of reading a long fic about that right now. Where'd it go? Let me see if I still have the tab open. It's very good. It's like a lot of like pining Chirrut. It's called Baze Gaze. It's really good because it's a lot of their like temple life, and it kind of shows that like Baze is this like exemplary guardian that everybody like wants to be like and be friends with, and then like Chirrut keeps having all these like problems because he can't focus, or because he tries too hard, and because he's looking at Baze all the time. And it's really, and like you see them like start to, I'm only like four chapters in, but like you start to like see them like develop this friendship, and it's really, it's choice, it's good.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone have any last thoughts they'd like to share before we wrap this up? Aside from getting fanfic recommendations from Meg, who I bet if you ask her on Twitter, she'll give them to you guys.
Farewell.
Baze and Chirrut, A Star Wars Story, give it to me.
Yeah.
Yes. Just don't call it a duo.
So bad. So but don't bad. We want to know the story about how they got their names?
No!
No, we do not.
No.
I sure do not.
I bet their mothers named them.
Gosh. Or the monks at the temple name them. I don't care. It does not matter.
Too. Or I don't know. Maybe Chirrut's name actually was Chirrut Baze, and he gave one of his names to Baze, and that's how we got it.
Oh no. I like it.
All right. Anything else before we wrap up?
I just love them so much. Also, go read the books. Go read the books.
Yes, to reiterate that one more time for anyone who hasn't heard us say it 50 times, Guardians of the Wills is by Greg Rucka, and then Alexander Freed wrote the Rogue One novelization, which if you haven't read, you should fix that. I'm definitely not looking in a Florida direction right now. Brian.
I know, we do this every week where you chastise me for not having read a book I should have.
They're good books, Brian. Or they're good books, Brent.
Yeah.
They're all on, good Brent. Books, Brent.
We just want what's best for you.
I know.
As do your space uncles. Yeah. But anyways, okay, I think that brings us to an end for this episode. So Meg, thank you so much for coming on and joining us. I think it's easy to say that this episode would not have been the same without you, because you are a delight and a joy when it comes to our space uncles. So where can people find you online?
You can find me, as I said, on the podcasts Far, Far Away Radio, Rogue Padron, and The Avatar State, which is about Avatar the Last Airbender and Legend of Korra. And then on Twitter, you can find me all the time at TSP of Nutmeg. So that's Teaspoon of Nutmeg.
Awesome. Thanks.
And that brings it to me to take us out. This episode of the ConjuCast has been brought to you in part by you, our Patreon subscribers. $1 on Patreon gets you into our Patreon exclusive Slack team, where you can pitch ideas to us for this show and other shows. We are part of the Tashi Station Network. You can find us on Twitter with the handles Tashi_Station, official show account. You can find Bria with @ChaosBria. Jay is Admiral Jello. I'm Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tashi Station Network. You can find this show on the Tashi Station Radio Mega Feed on the iTunes Store, Google Play, and Stitcher. You'll also be able to find all of our other great shows there. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode, and we will catch you all next time.